You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Gonna take it.
And basketball analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know, what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him. I was okay with it because it wasn't about talent, I didn't think.
All right, let's get right to it.
Jeff Goodman, Bob Ryan, Gary Tanguy along for the ride. Zoom and Pod is brought to you by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Networks. Score this NFL season with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 money line bet. That's $150 if your team wins. Okay, my cohorts are very popular. So Jeff Goodman and Bob Ryan had crazy schedules this week, but I wanted to get both of them on. So we're doing separate podcasts this week. I'm going to start, Robert, with the first topic. I started with Jeff. Jay King, by the way, does a great job with The Athletic. He's got an article out about how this year the Celtics' offensive production does not dip when Jason Tatum goes to the bench. Number one, does that surprise you? And just your thoughts on that overall.
A little bit, although I think we've acknowledged that there certain people are producing. We're going to talk about a couple of them and more this year than they have. And it does. I think it. One thing that occurs to me, I haven't dissected the thing completely, but this must mean that if Brown is still in the game, that we know Brown's on a pretty good roll as we speak,
right?
And that has to have something to do with it, I would think, but. That's good. Obviously, it speaks to a needed bench production. I will go back to my my horror of the games 1 and 2 of this season, which they won. There you start, and in which the total bench point production in the first two games of the 23-24 NBA season for the Boston Celtics was 20 points in two games out of the bench. I said, "Oh my God, this can't continue." I don't know, you're not, well, it hasn't. So that's part of it. But that's an encouraging development, if that's, that Tatum, it doesn't have to be on the floor for them to continue to put some points on the board.
Do you think it's because Tatum has given permission to the rest of the team to score the ball, and he doesn't even have to say it. It's just by his behavior, because we've heard Tatum say, and Jaylen Brown said the same thing. Look, all of our numbers individually are down, but the team is playing better. So when you have your number one and number two guys having that attitude, this is the result.
Yeah, another thing I just flashed across my mind is that Tatum himself, somebody's got to score more. His three-point shooting is down.
Oh, okay.
His three-point shooting efficiency is not what it, and yet the team is chugging along, at a very happy pace, a good pace. So that something else is going on. Now, whether it's things can be intuitive. They don't have to be specified, right?
And right.
And I think that may be the case. It's a group maturity. You win as a team, obviously, and ultimately, and all three phases of the game, right? Well, however many phases we want to dissect in basketball, because there's more than three. You got scoring, you got rebounding, you got assists, you got defense, you got setting picks, you got moving the ball, the extra pass, blah, 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 the offensive rebounding. You know, this ain't football. There's a lot more going on in terms of dissecting the game, you know.
Right.
So, you don't simplify it with three things the way you know that our friendly coach likes to do. There's more going on in basketball. And they're playing, they're touching some. The offensive rebounding at time has been an issue over in the past. This year, they've actually had some games where they were the dominant team, and that's something new. But anyway, something's going on that's good in the Grand Ole Prince. We're now in the heart of Jason Tatum's career. Well, we're talking like six or something. Yeah, I mean, this is a heart, and it's very, very encouraging that the group is progressing around him.
I put quotation remarks of that group maturity, I think, is the best label that I've heard so far.
Yeah.
I just think that, to wrap this topic up, I just think there's something about a team. It doesn't matter what sport it is. In my observation, and I'm not comparing Tatum to these leaders, so slow your roll. A Brady, a Bird, a Russell, those top three come to mind, even a Pierce in 08, Paul Pierce in 08, when they're very welcoming to their teammates and there's a feeling of generosity, that I'm here to support you as much as carry you, that bleeds through the room. And maybe I'm getting a little meta.
Well, listen, you mentioned 08 and that team in retrospect, it gets more and more fascinating. And I remember listening to Doc talk about it. I have recently, I was doing some research on Doc for the Sports Museum honor that he got, the New Orleans Sports Museum honor. And now this sounds, someone's going to say, "Oh, you're crazy." I'm sorry. I looked it up. It's a gospel truth. They won like 43 games by 10 points, but more than that, you can argue that in the 82 game season, they were hopelessly out of one game at home loss to Miami. And they were within striking distance at a reasonable time left in all the losses, the 15 losses or 16 losses they had, the 15 of them were salvageable. One wasn't. That is as overpowering and impressive a season as any team has ever had. No one will ever talk about this. No, they don't get the credit for it. I didn't know it either. And I didn't recognize it. I lived through it until I researched this and Doc was talking about how hard they played every night. And I looked up the numbers and you could make a case that they were in 81 out of 82 games. I don't know how too many teams can ever say that.
Yeah.
So anyway, that you mentioned with Pierce's role in that team, but we all know who the emotional leader of that team
was. Garnett. Yeah, I mean Garnett.
The big three so complement with an E as well as an I and at each other, you know, and Ray was shot selection. His shot totals were down, but they knew that he was still a guy they could go to and they really had to have a hope, you know, they get the ball to Ray. So, I mean, they all appreciated each other in a way. I mean, it worked. It was the idea because they all remember they were all three title deprived.
Sure, they wanted a title.
All three Hall of Fame bound players, title deprived, over in their 30s, and they got what they recognized what it would take to get their goal, to achieve their goal, and that's one of the great examples of what we'll ever see in this league.
Score early this NFL season with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 money bet. That's $150 if your team wins. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, there's no better time to get in on the action, NFL. The app is so easy to use. There's a wide range of betting options, including you got spreads, you got your player props, you got over-unders, and more. So visit FanDuel.com/Boston and kick off the NFL season. FanDuel, official partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in Massachusetts. Hope is here. First online real money wager only. $5 pregame money line wager required. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling helpline, ma.org, or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
So one of the reasons that the Celtics are playing so well this year and they have this aura about them is because of the moves that Brad Stevens made. Do you think he's in the hunt for executive of the year?
Well, I think, let's face it, the fact that Holiday fell out of the sky, let's be honest. And if you're voting on the basis of Holiday, you do have to know that it was so, it's a no-brainer to go after him. Fact is that Mr. Lillard's obstreperous nature, his demand to get out of Portland, this doesn't happen. But he did get him, and they're making the most out of him. The other guy I want to compliment, the guy they get credit for,
Porzingis.
Yeah, Porzingis. Yeah, positively. And of course, now it was Danny that got them White. Derek White is so indispensable in this mix. And he's like an efficient butler. He does whatever you need at the moment, sir. So do you need a rebound? I'll get you a rebound. So do you need an assist? You need a bounce pass for the freaking on? Do you need what do you even need? And you need a three. Oh, I shall go get you a three. It's what doesn't he do for them?
So, Bob, I'm failing on a movie reference. James Bond. Who is the name of the guy with all the gizmos in the lab?
Drive me crazy. Yeah. I can Google it.
Okay. But that's the guy. Like, he comes out with all the tools, whatever you need, kid. Whatever you need. But played by John Cleese, I believe, in one of them. Anyways, moving right along. Let's get to the Sixers from your former neck of. Oh, no. I want to go to Pritchard first. I'm sorry, Pritchard.
Yes.
Himmelsbach wrote about Pritchard last year demanding to be traded, or he was happy because he was discontent with his playing time.
Yeah.
But I look at Pritchard. And maybe this is not, I'm being too hard. I want to say, dude, sometimes you should just be happy. Because I think he may think he thinks he's better than he is. And I want him to say, you should just be grateful for what you have. But maybe you need that attitude to play in this league.
If you're 6 feet one, you're six right. feet tall. If you're, I'll be honest, please. If you're 6 feet tall, and you have to have a feistiness about you. He is a scrappy dude. Almost once a game he gets a sneaky offensive rebound or a sneaky defensive rebound. He plays hard. He's a defender. He played hard. I've liked him from the beginning. Ultimately his longevity in this league, that shot has to go in. And his whole raison d'etre was the three-pointer. And when it's going in, he's valuable. And when it's not, he's not so valuable. Recently he's had a game with six, tying his career high. He's definitely got, he's feeling appreciated and he's contributing this year. And he's an asset. I've been a member of that fan club from the beginning. I was disappointed that he wasn't being used more. It's all true. He was unhappy last year. And there was no secret that he wanted to get out of here. And I'm glad that, I'm very happy that he's here.
But I think we all agree. I mean, Jeff feels that they need, Q, by the way, was the name of the gentleman, Q.
Yes.
Q.
Q, yes.
Q.
That's Q, not C-U-E, but.
Yes, with the actual. Mm-hmm. Jeff feels they still need a big.
I don't know that you need, it'd be nice. It'd be one more, comforting thing. See, I'm not down on, he's hurt right now. I don't think Cornette is a stiff. I think he's an NBA basketball player. And he's still in the mix and when he's available to play. Tata, he might be developing into something. But yeah, you'd ideally like to go and order from the catalog a veteran backup big man, but the PJ Brown of 2024.
Right.
That was an invaluable asset that when they picked up PJ Brown, because that story, it's so fictionally amazing, it's daily true that he was recruited during the All-Star game by the big three, Dickie Pierce.
On the street.
Yeah. Well, right? I mean, they all,
hey, PJ, yellow from a cab or whatever. Hey, PJ.
Yeah. I mean, you can't make this, you know what, up. And it's a gospel truth. Yeah. It'd be nice. And I'd welcome it, but I don't think it's mandatory. I think it would be a nice life.
That's right. Joel Embiid, and now we'll get to Philly. He's got 13 straight games with 30 points and 10 rebounds. We know he's an amazing player if he can stay healthy. Does he reach the stratosphere of Shaq, Wilt, Russell, or Kareem?
Well, first of all, Shaq is not in that discussion at the top of the mountain, but in the Bob Ryan scheme of things, okay? The three standouts are in whatever order you prefer, and with the Russell, Chamberlain, and Kareem, okay? Then we draw a line. Now we have the argument start: who's next? Who's four? Who's five? I think Olajuwon is four all the time, by the way.
Okay.
And Shaq is in the top 10, maybe top 8.
Right.
My objection to Shaq: he was an indifferent rebounder. Indifferent. He got him if he had to get him. If you're 7 feet, whatever, and you have that body, and you have his extraordinary athleticism, the quick feet, everything you need to go along with it, a package such as no greater center package has ever strode this earth, you know, than except maybe Wilt, and in terms of, you know, the physical beat that he brought to the position. He never once led the league in rebounds. And he should have led the league in rebounds 3 or 4 or 5 times. Because the number one rule of rebounding is, do you want the damn ball or don't you? And he would get rebounds that came to him, but the great rebounders get rebounds that don't belong to them. And he never did that. And that's my yeah, but on him, among other, you know. So all right. Now we're Embiid. The argument, I guess, that's arisen in the talk show circles, and hey, great. Would you rather have Embiid or Jokic now? It's kind of a given that Jokic was a specimen apart. But after Embiid gets an MVP, and Embiid is following up his MVP with a spectacular season, which, by the way, includes in the recent days a 51-point game, and now is on this great streak of 30-10 games. You have to give him, put him in the argument as the most valuable force in the league right now. You know, in a league that includes Antetokounmpo and Jokic, isn't he right there? I mean, isn't he producing for them every single night at an extraordinarily high level? And people say, okay, you know, and now the next thing is, of course, okay, Jokic has a ring, and Antetokounmpo has a ring, and Embiid, okay, where's your ring? You know, and that's, to me, it's always, you know, that we know winning is dependent on so many things. He's got a Batman. I mean, he's got a Robin, that's for sure, with Maxey, who's routinely putting up 30s lately. And you know me, I'm a charter member of the Maxey fan club.
Go you back are.
To Kentucky. You know, you can find Bob Ryan, you know, slobbering over Maxey's clips going back 2 years. So that's, I'm a Maxey guy. Embiid, you got to give him credit now, but he's a different player. I mean, he's not the passer Jokic is, naturally, because, you know, no one else in that position is right now, but he is, he's an extraordinary, he's a major force, and he must be given his due. Plus, he's kind of fun to have around. Jokic has no public personality. You know,
he's funny.
He has no public personality, Jokic. He likes, he goes about his business and goes home. You know,
if it's not about the Celtics, I mean, if the Celtics aren't in it, I would like to see Joel Embiid get a ring.
Embiid wants you to know he's around. Yeah. Jokic wants to. He's the Garbo. I want to be alone.
You just leave me alone. But speaking of the Sixers, I found this amazing that Embiid, Tyrese Maxey, and then Tobias Harris, they were the first three Sixers to score 30 points in a game since 1961 when they were the Syracuse Nationals, and that was Dick Barnett, Hal Greer, and Dolph Schayes. Mm-hmm. I find that amazing.
Well, 30-30-30, that doesn't happen too often, and that three guys get 30 in a game. That's very rare. I would bet that we hadn't happened 10 times in the history of the league. And I think one of them was the Wilt Chamberlain 100-point game. The Knicks had three guys get 30 that night. That's one of the great trivia questions of all time, if you can name the third one. Because Richie Guerin and Willie Knowles were the first two. But
do you remember the third one?
Of course I do. Cleveland Buckner.
What a name.
And that's another part of the Knicks. Huh?
That's a great name.
Cleveland Buckner was a 6'9 guy. And, you know, he had this career night that night. And, of course, he got outscored by Wilt. Wilt outscored. He had 30 7 or whatever, yeah, whatever he had. Will outscored him by 70, but you know. also the Knicks. That was another. He was part of another wonderful trivia question. The Knicks had four guys at one point in their early 60s existence, four guys whose names began with the letters BU. If you can name all four, you go to the head of the class.
I mean Bradley was the thing. I mean Brad. I don't know.
I know. Butler, Al Butler.
Yeah.
Nate Budd. Donis Butcher, and Cleveland Buckner. Thank you very much.
I love those names. I love those names. Okay, Hall of Fame nominees are out. I took a look at the list. You've seen it. I'm not impressed. You know, there's no, to me, standout guy. Guys that jump out to me, Tom Chambers, Vince Carter, Michael Cooper, Joey Crawford, the ref, Lampier, Mo Lucas, Raleigh Massimino, you know, coach Villanova. I don't know. What do you think?
You're right. It's a B group. It's not an A level group. It's not. Yeah. Vince Carter is going to get in.
Okay.
I think. Marcus Johnson.
Oh, I forgot him.
That's a very good chance of getting in, I think. I think Tom Chambers is the Hall of Very Good, but not a Hall of Famer. I would not vote for Tom Chambers. I would not. Terry Cummings, absolutely not.
He's no.
Mike Kaminsky, of course not. He shouldn't even be on the ballot. I love him. He's a wonderful guy. A gentleman, a nice, solid player, but no. Of course, guys get there on a Baseball Hall of Fame ballot that you go, what are you kidding me? Yeah. You know, they lasted 10 years. And this is not that. What are you kidding me? But no, Mike, I'm sorry. You know, maybe the College Hall of Fame. I missed Michael Cooper. Is Michael Cooper is on?
That's what I saw. Yeah.
I didn't see that one. Okay. Well, if he was on.
So now, does he get on because of his defense and playing with the Dynasty?
Of course. But he's not going to make it. He won't make it. But okay. Larry will. But I tell you who'd go up there for him. That would be Larry. Larry would go up there for him and would, because he would unequivocally tell you he's the greatest guy, toughest guy that ever guarded him. And that's for sure.
Michael Cooper.
There's coaches there, a lot of coaches, college. Go get Barnes, I don't think so. John Beilein, no. Chauncey Billups, by the way, he's better than I thought. You know, his career was better than I thought. I don't think it's a Hall of Fame career.
Not a Hall of Fame.
No. But now there's an interesting referee I would vote for, and that's Joey Crawford. He was a dominant personality. It's a dominant personality, Joey Crawford.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Did you think he was a good ref?
Yes, I did. And because I kind of knew him a little bit, so I'm a little biased there. You know, I had a couple of cups.
You had a couple of beers. I remember one time, because he liked to talk to the media, the gentleman of the NBA, I mean, a true gentleman of the NBA media, Ian Thompson, one time, because this is when I was working the Celtics broadcast. Ian Thompson from Sports Illustrated is walking along the baseline, like to get to his seat, and they're in a timeout, and Joey Crawford just starts talking to him. And I'm talking him up, and I said, Ian, he goes, I don't know, man. I was just going to my seat, and Joey just talks to us all the time. You know?
Joey's a real people. Of course, you know his bloodlines. You know, he's from the referee, Shag Crawford's kid, and he had another brother that was an umpire and all that. Okay. Now, the veterans put a couple of names up. The Veterans Committee.
Yep.
Dick Barnett, I say yes. If you can, the totality of his contract, you have to, I would take into consideration the fact that he was one of the all-time great NAIA college players, won a national championship at Tennessee A&I. Fred Brown's nominated, Hall very good. Fred Brown was the original Vinnie Johnson, you know.
Downtown.
The original Downtown Freddie Brown.
Downtown Freddie Brown.
I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, but he's Hall very good. Here's an interesting name there that people don't know, and there's been a decades-long crusade from outraged family members that a man named Leo Ferris, he's on the list. Say, who the hell is Leo Ferris? Leo Ferris, according to his family and some documentation they have, does not get the credit that he deserves for being instrumental in the 24-second clock institution, which always is given credit to the owner of the Rochester Royals. And he gets all the credit, whose name is escaping me at the moment, but Leo Ferris is being, it would be maybe writing a long historically in grievance here if he were to get in. And there's teams that are nominated. And now, by the way, for the Boston audience that we have, there is a local name on the ballot from the women's coaching list, Andy Yasinoff, the longtime coach of Emmanuel here in Boston and the Fenway, he's got a pile of wins and a very not good guy is nominated. That may very well be like what we say, the nomination is his honor. You know, we say right. The Oscars every year. Well, maybe it will turn out to be, but it is an honor to be nominated. And I can congratulate Andy Yasinoff on being nominated. Okay. And there's a contributors list that's loaded with people. We'd be going for an hour to see so many of them are deserving. I want to put, there's two on an international player list. There's two guys that I want to just make a brief comment on. One is Andrew Gaze from Australia, a great Olympian. He was a member of the Seton Hall team that was beaten by Michigan in 1989 in the final. But a longtime Olympian and the greatest Australian product, the honor to his country was Andrew Gaze. And I've got a very personal one, very personal. Tal Brody. Tal Brody, here's a story. It's a fascinating story. I'm from Trenton, New Jersey. Tal Brody is from Trenton High School, class of 61, where he led the team to the New Jersey Group 4 state championship. He went to Illinois, and he was all Big Ten 3 years, and he was the 13th pick of the 1965 NBA draft by the Bullets. He's Jewish. He was invited to go to the Maccabiah games that summer. And I'm excited. I'm going to go to the Maccabiah games. He goes to the Maccabiah games. That was in 1965. He's never come home. And he became an Israeli citizen. He became the best player on an Israeli team that won a European championship. He coached the team for years, and he is still a governmental official. He has an official title, the Ambassador of Goodwill for the state of for Israel. Wow. And he lives in Tel Aviv. And I got a quick story. About 3 years ago, I was invited to speak at the Hall of Fame the night before they had the state championship basketball games out in Springfield.
Okay? Right.
And they had a dinner and I was the speaker. And after it was over, John DeLiva, the Hall of Fame president, said, "Are you going to stay for the games tomorrow?" And I said, "Well, I wasn't planning on necessarily." So, well, he said, "I'm going to the games with Tal Brody." I said, "Oh my God, I mean, count me in." I've never met Tal Brody. And he was, so the next morning they picked me up at the hotel and Tal's in the shotgun seat. So I get in behind him and I hand him an index card. And he looks at it and he goes, mouth open. "What's this? What? What it was?" And he knew what it was. It was the starting five of his 1961 team. And George Lee, Ralph Buddy Shaw, and on. I the starting five. And so we sat together for the game. And long story short, we went to Israel. He showed us around and we had a good time. Anyway. He should have been. He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame as an international player. All right, that's my personal story. Okay, all right, I'm off myself.
Bob, I love those stories. Outstanding. Go ahead. Well, go ahead.
Andy Yasinoff has been at Emmanuel. They really bought it. Consider this resume very, very carefully. for 47 years. He has won 905 games. He has had two losing seasons.
It's amazing.
Since 1977. So that's not perfunctory. That's pretty damn good. Okay.
What is it like to be honored by the Hall of Fame? Well, you were honored by the Hall of Fame.
Yes. Well, the Kurt Gowdy Award, the media award. Oh, it was a great thrill. I mean, phenomenal. I was honored. And the funny thing about my year, which was 1997, the honoree for broadcasting was Marv Albert. And it was the year of Marv Albert's, shall we say, Marv's troubles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, with Fratello and all
and
that.
And Marv was ushered into the... There was a media scrum, and Marv was ushered into the building for what I call the Goodfellas entrance. You know, the kitchen. You know, and to avoid the prying cameras and stuff. You know, and I was honored, totally honored to go in with Marv. I'd known Marv. We know what a great broadcaster he is, and I was thrilled. You know, but that was a little subplot that year. Marv was in the news for some wrong reasons, but. He bounced back. Bounced back. Anyway, it's one of the honest great thrills of my life. Are you kidding? It was a great honor to be honored.
Just must be such a feeling. And you know, the same thing for our friend Dan Shaughnessy with Cooperstown.
Yeah.
You know, I know Willie McDonough, you know, in Canton. When you're in the media, it's such a unique position because you get into the business because you're a fan. But then when you become a journalist, you have to take the fan and you have to put it in the drawer, you know, and then you have your moments. You have your battles with the players. You have your battles with the coaches. You know, sometimes the fans are mad at you. Sometimes the players are mad at you. But then when all is said and done, and then you're put into the same building, albeit it's the Kurt Gowdy Award, it's not the same thing as being a player or being a coach, nor should it be, which everybody agrees. It's just got to be something very holistic to be in the same building.
Oh, it's a great night for you. It's a great honor. It's a great absolutely. You know? There's no question about it. And you're right. I get referred to at times, you know, but as a Hall of Famer. Well, you know, I said, well, no, hold the timeout. You know, I'm not a Hall of Famer. That's a totally different thing.
Right.
I'm at the peak of the best I can achieve in my profession. I'm in six halls of fames. I mean, in different ways, once, you know, but I'm not a Hall of Famer in Springfield. I'm a Kurt Gowdy Award winner, and I'm proud and honored to be that.
Okay, let's move on to the Joker. Isaiah Thomas, the former Piston, I should say, he was on NBA TV in. They were talking about the Denver Nuggets shot selection and talking about the Joker shot selection. He said he was talking to Scott Hastings. We remember Scott Hastings was a teammate of Isaiah, you know, but he was interviewing. Isaiah was talking to Hastings, and he said he feels that Jokic is as good a passer as Magic Johnson. It's pretty high praise, but let's dissect that.
Well, the thing is, I find an interesting analogy because the guy that you compare him to is Bill Walton because he's 7 feet. He's not an old fashioned conventional center, but basically it's like a 4.5 or a 5.5, whatever. But he's a great passer. There's no question. He's the best. I said he's the best passing center since Bill Walton, and I'll stand on that. And if he's as good, I'm happy to say he's just as good. But that's incomparable. Marriott. It's funny that we'd pick a guard. You know to. Which is, I guess, in his eyes, quite an honor, because Isaiah was a guard and a great that a 7-footer could be considered an entered into.
Well, the game's changed too. I mean, they play the guard position.
Oh, it's like you know, like Doncic. You know, Doncic is essentially he's got the ball all the time,
right?
You know, and he's got it all the time, and he's I think of him as a forward, but he's really a guard the way he plays. LeBron himself,
right?
Okay. LeBron has evolved into he's the ultimate positionless player, and LeBron thrives with the ball, not off. And LeBron's got the ball, and that's why gives me a chance to mount the soapbox for another 27 seconds. All these things, all these passers that we're discussing, okay, None of them are any better than Larry Bird. And the big distinctive thing was that Larry Bird got the ball more done with the ball in his hands less than any of these people. Remotely, not even close. I can't even tell you who's in second place about this in this net level of the game. And yet you look at some of the assist totals that Larry mounted, and without having the ball in his hands all the time. And that's the big distinction, that when you're talking about these people, we just got to give Larry his due. That none of them were Larry Bird when it came to moving without thinking ahead and being ready to distribute the ball before he even got it.
And on a final note, Bob Ryan, I was at the gym the other day, and our friend Richie Thompson, the legend of the Boston Herald on the exercise bike, who I have to say something about Rich Thompson. I don't know if he's still covering stuff for the Herald, who covers BC. I don't know of anybody who just likes covering a sporting event. First of all, more than Bob Ryan, and then Rich Thompson, because he's BC games, high school games, he doesn't care. Yeah, he's there. And he said to me, he goes, and he watches us, so hopefully he sees this. So he says, you know, Bob's a Heisman voter. I said, he is? Because I guess he's the head Heisman dude now. He goes, yeah, I'm the regional grand poobah or whatever. I didn't know you voted for the Heisman.
I do. Every year I'm surprised they're going to renew me. And, fine. And I did. And I'll reveal my vote. It doesn't matter. I voted for Marvin Harris Jr. And I know we had these great quarterback beatdowns. So I voted for Daniel second and Michael Penix third. I mispronounced his name. But I voted for I was one of the 20 people who voted for Marvin Harrison Jr. To me, I was supposed to be the best player. He was the most spectacular player I saw all year was Marvin Harrison Jr. So anyway, I am a Heisman voter. Which reminds me of my favorite Heisman reference, the late Dick Schaap, my friend who I worked with, was proud of the fact he was the only person ever who voted simultaneously for the Heisman and the Tony.
How did that happen?
He was at the time in New York City, drama critic for Channel 4. WNBC.
Wait a minute. Whoa, it's timeout.
As well as being Dick Schaap, the sports guy.
He was the drama critic? Like Rex Reed drama critic?
Yeah. He was the drama critic working for Channel 4 in New York, as well as sports. He was a drama critic. He was Dick Schaap, because he's the greatest writer among all broadcasters in sports, and he's the greatest sportscaster among all writers. There was nobody to combine writing and broadcasting and sports that like Dick Schaap. And of course he was a TV host. He voted for the Tony and the Heisman.
That is amazing. That is crazy. Things you learn with Bob Ryan. We're going to change the name to the pod to that. Robert, have a very happy holiday.
Well, thank you. And same to you and everyone out there. And I hope you can go from point A to point B wherever you're going, and without any troubles, and whether you're flying or driving, and of course if you're in Europe you'd be taking the train, much happier. We'll get into that some other day.
Another honor of Bob Ryan, one of the Hall of Fame inductees of Downtown, the Rich Kimball Show, my friend up in Bellingham. Name's on the mug. Go to zone.com, WZON. Rich does a great job up there in Bangor. We are brought to you by the exclusive wagering partner, FanDuel, CLS Media Network. Score this NFL season with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers get $150 bonus bets with any $5 money line bet. That's $150 if your team wins. Okay, Robert, happy ho.